This morning we want to look at the role of the children in the family. We've been doing a series of studies on the home and family. And in the past few lessons we've been looking at the role of the husband, the role of the wife, and now we want to look this morning at the role of the children in the family. And we appreciate all of our children. We appreciate the young people that are here this morning, and we appreciate all the parents. And we hope that we will, as we go through life, we have a good relationship between parents and children that God wants in the home. I want to read a few passages before we begin this morning. We're familiar with the Ten Commandments that God gave Israel. I want to begin with Exodus chapter 20 this morning, verse 12, the fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land which Jehovah thy God giveth thee. When you look at all the Ten Commandments and you look at the different things that are mentioned there about idolatry, killing, murder, adultery, things like that, right in there, out of all the things that God could have said, He included one matter that involved the family. And so that says that that's very important. Turn with me now to Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians 6, beginning in verse 1. Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Notice the statement there. This is a quotation from Exodus 20, the passage that we just read, verse 12. But notice Paul's comment or parenthetical comment, verse 2. Which is the first commandment with promise. You look at all the Ten Commandments and read them. This is the first one mentioned that has a promise that goes with it. And that is, you may live long on the earth. That was a promise that went with that commandment. So it's the first commandment with promise. And so honoring our parents and obeying them, of course, is something that will cause us to be blessed and live long in the earth. And we'll talk about that later in the lesson. Let me stop right here and make this observation. In verse 1, when we read the word children, we're thinking about teenagers on down. But as we're going to see this morning, a part of honoring our parents would be adult children, right? So all of us here, if we have parents, there's some material here for all of us. When we start reading about children, we're thinking teenagers on down, and they better pay attention in this morning's lesson. But when we get to honoring our father and mother, we're going to find out that honoring our father and mother is something that we do to our elderly parents as we are grown adult children. It's a part of respecting them, taking care of them, and other things. And so all of us, if we still have our parents, all of this material this morning will be for all of us. Okay, turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing in the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children, that they be not discouraged. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy 5. We're going to begin in verse 3, 1 Timothy 5, 3. I'd like to start in verse 1. Rebuke not an elder. This is not an elder in the church. This is an older man. Rebuke not an older man, but exhort him as a father. The younger men as brethren. The elder women as mothers. The younger as sisters in all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed. That is, they don't have anybody to take care of them, and they can be enrolled with the church care. But if any widow hath children or grandchildren, let them learn first to show piety toward their own family and to requite their parents, for this is acceptable in the sight of God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate, that is, doesn't have someone to take care of her, hath her hope set on God, and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that giveth herself to pleasure is dead, spiritually dead, while she liveth. These things also command that they may be without reproach. But if any provideth not for his own, that goes back to verse 4, your widowed mother, or father for that matter, if any provideth not for his own, and especially of his own household, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Come with me to verse 16. If any woman that believeth hath widows, let her relieve them, and let not the church be burdened, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. That is, widows who don't have someone to take care of them. The church can care for them. Those who do have someone to take care of them, the family is supposed to do that. Okay? Titus chapter 2. I'm sorry, I skipped over one. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, and then we'll get to Titus. 1 Timothy 3, with regard to the qualifications of elders, several things are mentioned about his person, verse 2 and 3, and then verse 4. 1 Timothy 3, 4. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. But if any man knoweth not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? And then turn with me to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 4. The older women are to teach the younger women, that they may train the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sober-minded, chaste, workers at home, kind, being in subjection to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Okay, love their children. So, this morning then, we want to look at the role of the children in the family. And we're going to take all of these questions this morning, since we were not able to meet with the weather Wednesday night. We'll get caught up, hopefully, this morning. We'll go through all of the questions first this morning. Larry, we're going to start with you, if you don't mind. We'll go around, we'll answer these questions, and then we'll look at some material that I have on the overhead. We've already learned about the role of the father and the mother in the home, and this morning we want to look at the role of the children in the home. We read Exodus chapter 20, honor thy father and mother. This is repeated by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Larry, first of all, what does it mean to honor father and mother?
It, of course, implies obedience, in the sense of honor, but also a matter of respect, a matter of not being dismissive or ignoring your parents.
Right. It's your attitude toward your parents with regard to respect. And it's not just in what you say, but your looks. You can have a look of disrespect. You can have words of disrespect. So we need to be respectful toward our parents, and that goes all the way through life. We don't stop being respectful when we get out on our own. We still have to be respectful to our parents. My father is 89 years old, and I need to honor my father. And so it goes through life. It doesn't stop when we get married and get out on our own and that type of thing. Okay? Shannon, letter D there. What is the value of honoring father and mother? Okay, there are two things there. That it may be well with thee. Our life is generally better when we obey and respect our parents. And number two, that we may live long on the earth. We typically, as a young person, live longer if we're living right by God's word. We're not going to go out and cut our life short through bad things, drug abuse, driving recklessly, just, you know, sowing wild oats and having a good old time. And we end up cutting our life short because we're not living right. So there's a promise here that it may be well with thee, and number two, that you may live long on the earth. obedience to parents and honoring and respecting our parents has a benefit to it, has a spiritual benefit. It's not just something to be doing it. There's a promise that is given, and God honors his promises. And the author talks about, you know, the average lifespan of a respectful, courteous, obedient young person is longer than the thoughtless, disobedient youth. And that's what we need to understand. The rebellious child often brings trouble to himself that causes his life to have problems. It's not well with him, and often his life is cut off sooner. He does not live long on the earth. So notice Paul says this is the first commandment with promise. There's a benefit to it. And so God knows what is best for us. Okay? Let's look at Roman numeral 2. And then turn with me to Proverbs 1. We'll be looking at this later. More. Patty, number B there under Roman numeral 2. Right. One of the responsibilities of children is to listen to the instruction, the wise instruction of their father. That's assuming that the father is giving wise instruction, but we're to listen to that. Proverbs 1:8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they, that is the instruction, the teaching, they shall be a chaplet of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. In other words, it will help you in life. It will be that which you need to take with you in life. So one of the responsibilities that we're going to talk about this morning is listening to our parents' wise instruction. And again, I would say that it's something for us who are older to consider as well. I believe that when the scripture talks about leave, cleave, and become one flesh, you become your own family. You move out, you become your own family unit. But as an older parent, we can say something to our children that's still wise. I mean, we may not like it. We may not think, well, I don't know if I have to listen to my dad now that I'm almost 50 years old. Do I have to listen to my dad? Well, he may be saying something that's very wise, that's very good, and I need to consider it. You know, if we're midlife, we're still thinking, well, surely I don't have to listen to my parents anymore, but often they'll say things that are still very helpful. And it would be something at least to consider, if not actually do. So, again, a lot of these things are not just for, well, that's just for the little kids. It could be for those of us who are older as well. Okay? Roman numeral 3. Dave, letter A.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right.
Okay. Mandy, letter B, please. Right. And then Pat, letter C. Right. So we're going to submit to it. We're going to follow it. Literally, and I think I have this on the chart, it literally means obey is made up of two little words, under and hear. We hear what the parents say or anybody that's in authority, and then we're under that. We're under obligation to hear that and do it. It literally means under, hear, to hear under, to hear it and then be under what was heard and go out and fulfill that. And the author makes a great point here, and that is that it's easy for a child to obey when the parents are saying something that they already agree with or that they already want to do. It's an entirely different matter when they suggest things that are contrary to the child's desires. And that's when the challenge is. Sometimes we tell our children things and they're glad to go do it because they're already on board with that. But what about the things that they don't like or they don't have those desires? That's when we have to show maturity and grow up and do what God wants. Those are the times when it's challenging, and we still must do what God wants us to do. Okay, Andrea, letter D there, please, on the next page.
Proverbs
Acts 5:29. Yes, uh-huh.
Whatever child can do in the way of submission to his parents, that in no way violates the law of God, must be done. But if the parents are funding the child, it's a clear violation of the will of God, then we obey God rather than
right. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. I didn't bring this out with regard to the wives, and I meant to do that, and we can also mention it now with regard to the children. There is a statement with regard to the wives and the children that talk about submit or obey, and then it says in everything or in all things. We need to talk about that. First of all, look at the wives in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 24. But as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives also be to their husbands in everything. We did not spend time talking about that, but we can't just skip over little phrases like that. So the wife is to submit in everything. Okay? And then look at Colossians chapter 3 with me with regard to the children. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things. So look at that. For the children, obey your parents in all things. Wives, submit to your husbands in everything. And the point is, it means what it says. That's what it means. In all things, in everything. There's one exception that we know of in the scripture, and that is that if our husband was asking us or telling us or wanting us to do something contrary to God's word, then we can't do that. Obviously, we must obey God rather than men. And the same would be with our parents. But I don't know of two exceptions. I don't know of three exceptions. I just know of one exception. So we've got to think about that. Somebody says, well, I don't know if I could submit to him in everything. Well, maybe that's not the person you need to marry. And that's what it means, in everything. And with regard to the children, it means in all things. We don't want our children to be going, well, I can't obey that because of this exception and this exception, you know. So in everything, there's only one exception that I know of in Scripture, and that would be if the husband is wanting us to do something contrary to God's word, or if the parents are wanting us to do something contrary to God's word. Otherwise, we need to do what those passages are saying. So those are little phrases and little statements that qualify what God is saying, and those are just as much a part of the command as those other things. Okay? Let's look at Roman numeral 4 now. Heather, if you'll take number 1, please. Right. He took God's word into his heart that he might cleanse his way by taking heed to your word, Psalm 119, verse 9. So another responsibility of a young person is to make their life right by cleansing their sins through obedience to God's word. Sean, letter D. Right. So if there's sin in our life as a child, we have to clear that by obedience to God's word. Okay. And the reason he puts these points in here, especially Roman numeral 4, 5, 6, these are things involving the spiritual side of a young person. The other side is obedience to our parents, honoring our parents. But there's also responsibilities of making sure that sin is out of our life. So we have to obey the gospel, or if we sin as a Christian, we have to repent and pray. So there are spiritual responsibilities as well as physical things. Okay? Brittany Ditton, letter A under Roman numeral 5. Right, so they have a responsibility to believe in God and obey God all throughout their life and take that with them. Okay? Rachel, letter A under Roman numeral 6. To bear his yoke in his youth, okay. And Tammy, letter B. Right, work hard, fulfill your responsibilities. There's things you need to do, chores, responsibilities, other activities, and bear that yoke. It's good for you. It's good to learn to work hard and be responsible and be organized and be a hard worker, diligent, that type of thing. It's good to bear that yoke because we take those principles and those practices with us when we get older. You know, we don't want to be lazy, don't want to just sit around, well, mom and dad will do all that for me. Bear the yoke in your youth. It's good for you. Okay? And then, last of all, with regard to some responsibilities, Brandon, letter B there under Roman numeral 6 with regard to young people. What does it mean to be sober-minded?
Serious.
Let's turn back to Titus chapter 2. I wanted to read a few more verses. We stopped there about verse 5 or so. I want to keep reading with regard to the younger men. Titus 2, the younger women are to love their husbands, love their children, be sober-minded, serious. It also has the idea of sobriety in the sense of clear-headedness, thinking clearly and properly according to God's word, chaste or pure, workers at home, kind, being in subjection to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. The younger men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself an example of good works. You need to be out doing good things for other people. Be an example of that. In thy doctrine or teaching, uncorruptness, teaching only what is correct from God's word. Gravity, the old American standard says, seriousness, okay, respectfulness. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of us. So your character and example is spotless, okay? So the sober-minded, sensible, clear-headed thinking young person. There are proverbs that talk about a wise child maketh a glad father, Proverbs 10:1. A wise child giveth delight unto thy soul, Proverbs 29:17. A wise child will not be heaviness to his mother, Proverbs 10:1. That's what we want. We want a good family relationship. We want where the mother and the father and the children have a good, positive relationship together. And that's the way it's supposed to be. I've mentioned this before with regard to the other roles and relationships that our society portrays it as a drag. You know, it's a problem. Parents and children fighting and who wants children and, you know, we don't need any of that. It's just a constant mess. And music, movies, media, TV programs, sitcoms, often portray it that way, and that's not supposed to be that way, and God doesn't want it that way. When you look at the Proverbs, for example, it's portrayed in a very positive light. It's a good thing when we're all doing what God wants us to do. Okay, let's look at a few things with regard to the role of children in the home. And we've made this point before that the man, the woman, and the child, they all have these same three things that you can study in Scripture. What is their position? What position do they have in the family? What responsibilities do they have in the family? And what's their attitude as they carry out their responsibilities? We don't want to do this thing where, okay, God wants me to do such and such as a man or a woman or a child, but, you know, I don't really like it, and you have a bad attitude while doing it. The attitude is just as important as these other things. So with regard to the child, let's start with, you know, what position do they basically have in the family? Well, the same basic word that is used for the wife is also used for the children. We looked at 1 Timothy 3:4 that he is to have his children in subjection. It's this word hupatage, which means from hupatasso, to place or arrange under, to submit, to be subjected to or to obey. Do you remember Jesus someone turn to Luke 2:51, please, and read that for me? Luke 2:51, with regard to Jesus and his parents being in the temple when he was age 12. What does Luke 2:51 say?
And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them, but his mother kept all things in her heart.
He was subject to them. This is Jesus, the Almighty Son of God. But he's 12 years old, and he's showing what a 12-year-old should be doing. He was subject to them. And that's the role that is given in Scripture. Children are to obey. The father is to have his children in subjection. I think the New American Standard, some versions say that he have his children under control. It's another way of expressing that. And you'll see a lot of families where the mother and the father, they don't have control of the children. The children are controlling them. And you'll see it a lot in the modern family, and it's just sad. The children get to say and do and think anything they want, and as they get older, it gets worse. Thing is completely out of control. It's in the church, it's in the world, and it's not what God wants. And either because parents are lazy, or they don't want to learn how to do better, or something, they just let it go, and it's almost like a three-ring circus. And I've mentioned this before that there wasn't a lot of time. My oldest sister is 17 years older than I am, but there was a very brief period, probably 1, at the most 2 years, at least 1 year or two, where all 8 of us were at home. About the time I was 2 years old, my oldest sister started going off to college. So that was 1 out of the 8 that was gone. But for about 2 years, there were all 8 of us at home. From, 16 or so on down to newborn. And there have been times where people have asked my parents, well, that must have been terrible to have 8 kids at one time. And dad will say, no, it really wasn't. I mean, they had their challenges, they had their issues, but it wasn't like some three-ring circus or some war zone because of this right here. Everybody was under control. Kind of like the military. It's organized, it's under control. But if you don't do anything as a parent, it's just hard. But they say, how could you have had 8 kids? What were you thinking, And people will sometimes ask my brother Tim that. Tim, they have 8 children. And, he gets asked the same question. How could you have that many? Well, when they're all orderly, when everything's fine, then it's not that bad. Okay? You'll always have your issues that come up with parenting. But it's not just some complete, terrible thing. Very important. Okay? Let's look now at the responsibilities. Okay? First of all, and our workbook covers this, and I added in some other proverbs. These proverbs talk about listening to our parents, listening to the word of our father and our mother. They've been around the block, They've experienced some things. And we say this to our children, that we're not just doling out, statements to be saying stuff. We're trying to help you with what we've already experienced. We're trying to help you with what we've already, you're going through something that we've already gone through, and we're trying to help you with that. And so listen to what this wise instruction is. And of course, that instruction is not just practical things, but it also needs to include God's word. Timothy, from his mother and grandmother, learned the word of God. So number one, listen to the instruction of our parents. And I remember after getting married, and I think Jesse and Jake were around back in the mid-90s or so, Dad would say, well, Chris, you might want to think about such and such. And I kind of, reeled back at that a little bit. Well, hey, man, come on. 30 years old? Come on. Got 2 kids? Do I really need to be paying attention? But what he was saying was good advice. You need to go home like, well, yeah, that is a good point. So even as we get older, they may be saying some things that are helpful for us to listen to. So consider that. Okay? Of course, we're very familiar with the next one then, children, obey your parents. A father had 2 sons. He told one son to go work in the field, and he said no, but then later repented. That's an interesting thought. Why did he later repent? What do you think? his conscience was bothering him about, you know, I didn't do what Dad told me to do. And that's actually a good sign that he has a conscience that wants to change. The other son said, I will go, and then he didn't go. So our children either obey or they don't obey. And sometimes they don't obey, and then a little bit later they had that conscience kicks in, I need to get up and do what my parents said. Jesus was subject to his parents. We've already looked at this before in a previous lesson, that in Romans 1, 30 and 31, disobedient to parents is a sin. It's not just some, you know, casual little thing that's not all that great. It's a sin, just in the same list as murder and other types of things. 2 Timothy 3, 2 and 3, disobedient to parents, okay? The only exception would be that if a parent tells a child to do something contrary to God's word, just like that would be with the wife, if the husband was telling her to do something that was contrary to God's word. Otherwise, the subjection and the obedience needs to be there. Okay. We don't talk about this a whole lot, but when our parents discipline us, we need to listen to it. All of these proverbs talk about the good of discipline, and we need to listen to it. We need to hear it. We need to follow it. And then some of that involves spanking or corporal punishment. Okay. In Hebrews chapter 12, we had our fathers to discipline us, and the scripture says that, we respected that. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. We don't need to resist that. Look at Hebrews 12:9. We had the fathers of our flesh to discipline us, and we gave them reverence. Underscore that in your Bible. They disciplined us, and we gave them reverence. We respected that. And I respect my parents for the discipline they gave me. Now, when you're getting it, you don't like it. But you realize that it's for your good. And when we would get in trouble at home, we would get disciplined. Some of it involves spanking. But listen very carefully. We would also get in trouble for being disrespectful during the discipline. Look at that verse again. We had our fathers to discipline us, and we gave them reverence. It's wrong to disobey, but it's also wrong to be disrespectful when you get in trouble for disobeying and going through that discipline process. We can't be disrespectful while that's going on. And so that needs to be taught in the home as well. Now, let's look at this matter. I wanted to read several of these this morning. Turn back with me to the book of Exodus. How do we honor our father and mother? There are several passages here that aren't in the workbook. If you want to take time to jot them down, these are really interesting passages that tell us what should be in the mind of a young person toward their parents. There's some things that they should do. There's some things that they shouldn't do. Let's start with, we've already read 20 verse 12. Let's go now to Exodus 21:15. He that smiteth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. I've seen young people hit their parents, and nothing's done about it. You did that in the old law, you're dead. Look at verse 17. He that curseth his father, what we're learning is we're learning how to honor our parents. We're learning how to honor them. Number one, you don't hit them. Number two, you don't curse them. He that curseth his father, the Hebrew word means to revile. He that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Turn with me to Leviticus 19:3. And you'll see this stuff going on even today. You shall fear every man his mother and his father, to respect them, reverence them. Look at Leviticus 20, verse 9. Everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother. His blood shall be upon him. But you'll see that going on today, and not a thing's done about it. Turn with me to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 5:16 is the repeating of the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother. So turn with me now to Deuteronomy 21. Deuteronomy 21. Parents, and it starts early. You'll see little kids hitting on their parents. You'll see little kids talking back to their parents. And if the parent just allows it, then you're setting yourself up for a real problem. Look at Deuteronomy 21:18. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son that will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, though they chasten him. Notice that it's important for the parents to step in and do their part. They try to discipline this person, okay? But he still will not hearken unto them. Then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him unto the elders of the city, unto the gate of the place. And they shall say unto the elders of the city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of the city shall stone him and put him to death. So thou shalt put away the evil from the midst of thee, and all Israel shall hear and fear. The evil is a disobedient child who will not be corrected. That's evil, and that was to be put away from Israel. And when it's not, then it just ends up causing problems in that family, and then others get the same idea. Look at Deuteronomy 27:16. Deuteronomy 27:16. Everybody pay attention. Young people, pay attention to this one, okay? When you think about being disrespectful to your parents, you might be thinking something like outright cursing them or something like that. And we've just talked about that. Look at this verse. You can be disrespectful to your parents when we would say today, blow them off. When you kind of just blow them off. Cursed, Deuteronomy 27:16. Cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother. Does somebody have a version that says something other than setteth light?
Contempt.
Okay, what else? With contempt, okay. Anything else?
Dishonors,
good, because that's what it is. It's dishonorable. But not going to do that. Or you just walk off, yeah, whatever. Don't do that. That's wrong. My version says, setteth light to his father, his mother, light. I'm not going to listen to what you're saying. Yeah, whatever, and they slam the door. Walk off and slam the door. Or they're going out the house and slam the door. That's not going to happen. You get back in here and you speak right to me. Don't you be setting light to me. But you'll see that happen. Walk off, slam the door, whatever. It could be body movements. It could be just little noises you make. We all have tried it. It's wrong. Okay? And it's something we have to learn not to do. I did it when I was young, and I had to learn not to do it. It's wrong. Shouldn't do it. Okay, turn with me to the book of Proverbs. We've got just a couple of minutes left. These Proverbs are great Proverbs. They sometimes get neglected, but they speak to what it means to really show our parents honor. Turn with me to Proverbs 15, verse 20. And give me just a little time to get through some of these because they're great statements. Proverbs 15:20. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Don't despise them. Just set them at naught. Just what we would say, blow them off. 17:25. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him. 19:13. A foolish son is the calamity of his father and the contentions of a wife or a continual dropping. Look at verse 26. He that doeth violence to his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. These are ways that people can be dishonorable. 20, verse 20. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in blackness of darkness. God is going to make sure that he's punished for that. Look at 21:17. Let's see. 17 through... I guess I was thinking more along the lines of just verse 21. He that followeth after righteousness and kindness findeth life and righteousness and honor. Is the child going to follow the right way or the wrong way? 23:22. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Look at 28:24. 28:24. Whoso robbeth his father or his mother, and saith, it is no transgression, the same is the companion of a destroyer. 30:11. There is a generation that curse their father, and bless not their mother. Look at verse 17. And here's another one where I want everybody to pay attention, because sometimes this gets overlooked and it goes on all the time. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out. Does it say his mouth or his eye? Does it say his mouth or his eye? His eye. So how do you mock your parents with your eyes? Stop and think about it.
Roll your eyes.
Yeah, we say roll your eyes. Don't roll your eyes at me. What the, yeah, it's like, yeah, right. Uh-uh. That's just as wrong as just outright saying something to them. That's why we say to our kids, don't roll your eyes at me. That verse right there is talking about, with your eyes, you're mocking your parents. It's like that look of, yeah, whatever. Uh-uh. Don't do that. Okay? So these are ways that maybe we have either haven't been taught or haven't thought about it or have forgotten about. One more and then I'll stop. 31:28, and we'll stop on a positive note. Her children rise up and call her blessed, and her husband also. We want our children to bless the parents because they honor and respect them. Thank you for your time this morning, and we will close with that.